So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, I ask God that you will reveal yourself through the scriptures this morning. Allow our hearts to be open to what you need us to hear. Let our minds also to be open, God. Father, fill us with your wisdom this day. May we gain knowledge and walk out of here changed. In the name of Jesus, amen. So in John 15, if you have your Bible, you're going to want to turn to John chapter 15. I am going to simply break this passage down, but before we do, I want to read through it so we understand what we're actually talking about. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus is speaking, and this is a section of the scriptures. When he's speaking this and sharing this, he's actually talking about, it's toward the end of his life, and he's sharing these things and trying to illuminate the minds of his disciples to understand what's to come and what needs to happen and how their lives need to be changed and transformed and how he can move in power among them and what that really means for them to remain in him and why it's so vital and why it has impact on them in their current state. But not only that, in the future, why does it have impact at all? Why do we have to remain in Jesus? And some of us may say, well, I don't really know. I don't know. I've really never thought of it. Or, you know, Jesus is the number one, and I need to remain in him, and I understand that, and I've grasped it in my life, and I live that. But then others of us would say, no, this is number one. This is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus is number 7. I think if we really were to examine our lives, we'd be able to see that realistically, we're not putting Jesus at number one. There's all sorts of false idols. I was invited to this gathering, and there was an apologist that was going to speak, and I got to talk to him before he spoke. And if any of you know who Josh McDowell is, his son Sean McDowell is one of the, I guess it sounds really weird, but one of the top 50 apologists in our country right now. You may go, what does that even mean? What does apologist mean? Well, basically, they pick apart the scriptures and illuminate our minds to understand more knowledge. And one of the most powerful apologists, I think, is Ravi Zacharias. If you've ever heard of him, he's amazing. And Sean McDowell is around my age, a little bit older than me, but he and I got into some great dialogue. And you want to know one of the questions he asked? Because I said, Sean, this location in the country, there's a lot of different things going on, a lot of spiritual warfare. There's people that are claiming to follow God, but they're really not. And then there's people that aren't claiming to follow God, and they're really, really not. And then the people that are following after their own God that they've created and think it's Jesus, but it's really not. And he asked me a really profound question. It was really simple, too. What are the people's idols in the region? Have you ever asked that question? It is such a simple question. You know what my first thought was? And I've thought about this, but my first thought right there was, well, the sports teams. For a lot of people, that's the God. And then another one that came to mind that I often interact and deal with is alcohol and drugs. For some reason, the Cape seems to breed that culture. And I've heard people say, well, there's not much to do around here. You know, and that lets me have a little fun. How about this? This is going to sound weird. How about exercise? Right? And what's interesting is, like, exercise is good. Would you agree with that? But when we become obsessed with it, it becomes an idol. Anything we become obsessed with the exception of God, like God, we should be like, wow, God, yeah, God, yeah, God, and follow after him wholeheartedly. But have you ever thought of that? What is consuming your life? This is going to sound freaky too. What about family? Who's going to throw something at me? But our families can consume us. This is Mother's Day, right? And the focus is on moms. But the focus, yes, it's a special day for mom, but the focus always needs to be on who?
Our Father.
Our Father, right? On Jesus, on our Father, our Abba Father. And if that focus is there, then yes, we can say our moms are the best, they're the greatest. Yeah, but God is the best and the greatest, right? So there's a big difference. And so I am the vine. What does that even mean? Why do we even have to talk about I am the vine? Most of us here have never really grown a vineyard. Has anyone grown a vineyard? Have you ever been to a vineyard? So how do grapes grow? On a vine. But how do they grow? Think about this before you answer. How do they grow? When they grow, how do they grow? Yeah, but clusters, right? They're one fruit, but a cluster of fruit. They're together in unity, and they're good, right? And then the vineyards would be, yes, for grapes, but they'd be also pressed into wine. And it was very important in this culture because often the water supply was infected with bacteria and things. We can see that when Paul says to Timothy in his writings, put some wine with your water. And you may go, I'm a Christian, I don't drink wine. How dare you talk about wine in church? Relax, it's okay. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
I would argue that on many times in our lives, what we do is we think we can do everything on our own, and we don't say it necessarily, but we live like that. And because we're living like that, we are not experiencing being a part of the vine. And when we're not a part of the vine, we're only about ourselves. And what happens with somebody about themselves? Cut off from the vine, right? And what happens when you're cut off from the vine? You die. And when you start to die, what happens? You get picked up and thrown where? Into the fire. Well, maybe the compost. But in this particular case, into the fire and burned up. You may say, that's not nice. That's not very nice. Yeah, we're talking about vines. But no, it's more extensive than just talking about vines. In the book of Isaiah, there's some beautiful songs that are written about the vine and how the Israelites were the vine and how the ultimate gardener is who? It's God. And he's the ultimate gardener. And he comes and he begins to, you know, bring nutrients and does amazing things in order to get that vine and trims and allows the vine to grow and be more abundant. A lot of times we try to trim ourselves and make ourselves more abundant because we want to be the center of attention or the number one. Have you ever wanted to be the number one? Okay, so we're all lying this morning. If you've ever been even a smidge competitive and you've played sports or you played a game of maybe you're a board game player and you're like, I'm winning this game. I'm going to be number one. And I say in your mind, is there anything wrong with that? Like saying, yeah, I want to be the best at what I do. No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being the best and to desire to be excellent at what you do. Would everybody agree with that? But it's when we say, I want to be the number one so people can look at me and say, I'm number one. No, we want to achieve and move forward in excellence so when people look at our lives, they'll be like, wow, that person is excellent. And then they come and say, you're excellent. Why are you so excellent? And we'll go, well, you know, God made me, created me, and I do my best to honor God with my life. When was the last time you said that to somebody? When they say, you are such a special person. Well, God created me special. God created me unique. I'm different because God made me that way. Have you ever called yourself unique and blessed and special? In our culture, what we often do is say, I'm not good enough. I'll never measure up. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not who I should be. I want to be this person. I like that feature of that person, so I want that on me. I like that person's personality. If I had their personality, I could do this. Well, guess what? God created you like he created you, so when you're part of the cluster, you can honor him with that. And we have this sense that we forget. And maybe we never even realized how uniquely God created us and how beautiful we actually are. We try to do things to make ourselves look better and more presentable when God's like, come, all you who are weak and heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. And we say, I'll never be good enough. God's not going to accept me the way I am. I need to change this, this, and this. And God's going, wake up. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know how I created you? Yes, you need to repent. Yes, you need to turn from your sin and turn to me and follow me, and I will give you rest, and I will give you comfort, and I will give you peace in the midst of the most dire situation. But remember that I love you and I care for you, and that unconditional love, maybe that some of us experience from our mothers, that unconditional love is poured out for us on that cross. So why is being connected important? It's important on so many different levels. But we're just going to try to touch on a few of these. And the first is that being connected, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. All right? So Jesus is the true vine, and his Father is the gardener. So to be connected with the true vine means that our lives are going to totally be reshaped. And when we're connected with the vine, what do? We don't die, we grow. Yes, we die to self. In order to live for Christ, we need to die to self and live for Christ as gain, right? So when we're connected to the vine, we are not going to die. We are going to live and be more vibrant and live more vibrant lives. So staying connected produces fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, it's not healthy, is it? The goal is to produce fruit. All right, it's not by works that no man can boast, that nobody can boast. So it's not by works, is it? It's not by works. That's not what we're talking about. But staying connected produces fruit. Fruit is something that when a grape starts producing fruit, it starts forming that cluster, right? And you can actually, if you've ever seen a grapevine, my grandfather grows these really sour grapes. He said, you know, I'm going to grow some really nice grapes. But they're super sour, but the birds like to eat them. Anyway, when they grow, they form small, and they start to grow. And you can start to see the cluster forming. Have you ever seen a grapevine? It's pretty fascinating to watch. But it ultimately starts to grow into the fruit. But before it's the fruit, you do not want to eat it. I tried. Don't tell him that, though. But staying connected produces fruit. And that's ultimately what we want to do spiritually. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Everybody, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the objective is to bear much fruit. If you've had a mother in your life that has had impact, it is highly likely that in her life she bared much fruit. You saw some really amazing things take place in your mother's life to bring you to a place, and that mom shaped you. There are spiritual mothers in here that don't have any children that are blood related, but they have spiritually discipled children, and those children are now growing and vibrant followers of Jesus because they bore much fruit. Each individual, each one of us, no matter how old or how young we are, we need to continue to bear fruit every day we have on this earth. Every single day, we need to bear fruit, more and more fruit, and produce more and more fruit, because keeping up with that, keeping with repentance, is producing more fruit. When we realize, you know what, I need to turn from sin and turn to God and live a more abundant life, then fruit becomes evident. Some of you can probably quote this. Let's read this together. This comes from Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is... Okay, ready? We're going to read this together. Are you ready to read this together? All right, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if someone were to look at your life, would they see these things evident? I want to tell you this. Some of you would say they'd see goodness, they'd see self-control. And then you'd be like, the other ones I really wrestle with. Well, are you ready for this? It says, but the fruit of what? The fruit of the Spirit. Did you know if you have believed in Jesus and you're following Jesus, that the fruit of the Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Did you know that? So guess what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things. Did you know you have that? Did you know it's there? Did you know that it's right here and it's right here? And it's a matter of just grasping it and realizing that the Spirit can enable you to be that? Love and joy. Let's just take those two. If we allow the Spirit to continually pour out love and joy, what kind of effect would that have on the rest of the world? It would revolutionize where we reside. Our entire neighborhood would shift, and people would begin to see Jesus walking among them. Because Christian means mini Christ, right? And if you're a mini Christ, then you can be like Christ. I can be like Christ. We can be like Christ. Do you know our children can be like Christ? The second thing, being dis- connected produces what? Nothing. Being disconnected produces nothing. I've quoted this one many times. John 15:5. Let's read this one together. And when you get to nothing, go, nothing. All right, ready? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do. All right, some of you didn't even read it. I watched you. You made me sad. Being disconnected produces. So therefore, being connected produces something, everything, things that really matter, right? So if we're connected, then things start really moving. And you know what? There will be times of trouble. There will be times of difficulty. But take heart. He says, I've overcome the world, right? So if Jesus has overcome the world, then therefore that makes us overcomers. We can overcome anything this life can throw at us. And maybe you're thinking, you just don't know me. And even if you do know me, you don't understand me. Because I have difficulty overcoming the simplest things in life. Ask yourself this question. Am I truly a part of the vine, or am I a great pretender? Am I pretending to be a part of the vine? If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That explains enough. How do we stay connected to the vine? That's a really important question, isn't it? And we read this passage and we're like, oh yeah, I'm part of the vine. That's cool. That's all good and well. But how do we stay connected to the vine? We need to know. There's some good answers. How about this? Do what Jesus says. So what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. All right, this may get confusing. It's pretty straightforward, right? Did you know there's almost 700 commands in the Bible? Some of us think, oh, there's 10 commandments. So, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, hey, wake up. You know what? Listen, you know, it's about following after me with everything. And part of keeping my commands, you'll discover through living a life through the Spirit. He'll illuminate your mind to what's right and what's wrong. Because when Jesus departed his disciples, what did he say to them? He said, I am going to send one that will lead you to deeper truth than this. He is the counselor, and he will guide you, and he will lead you. He is the advocate, right? He is the comforter. So the advocate, he intercedes for us, and he's our advocate for our sins. Now, the advocate also, he intercedes for us in prayer, and he prays with groanings that we just can't understand. So when you don't know what to pray, and you don't know how to pray, allow the Spirit to pray for you. There's so many people that say, I can't pray in front of people. Have you ever said that? Maybe you have. Well, the Spirit can enable you to pray, because it's not about the other people anyway, is it? It's about loving people, but it's about that deep, intimate connection with God. Did you know you have a direct line with God? When was the last time you picked up a cell phone and you go, hey, how you doing? Someone's on the other line, right? You know you can go, hey, God, what's up? You don't need a cell phone. You just need your voice. You can even speak to God without vocalizing. You can just talk internally and connect with God deeply. And you can ask God to pour out His Spirit. We need to ask that daily. We need to repent and ask for the Spirit to fill us. This morning when you got out of bed, did you say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fill me to overflow with abundance so I can live a beautiful life, the life that you have for me, that I can live a life filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Did you say that this morning? Maybe something like that? Try. Yeah, Some people get, oh man, I got to get up. The alarm just went off. I'm pushing snooze. Oh man, the alarm went off again. The last thing we're thinking of is fill me with the power of your spirit. I'm going to share a little story someone shared. And I hope she doesn't mind because she's in this room. But it's beautiful. She said, you know what? I have trouble when I first get up. But you know what? When that shower hits me in the face, that's when I start praising God. Thank you for the water hitting my face. Right? It's a beautiful thing. We've talked about being thankful for the little things, the things we often overlook, the things that we take so for granted, like being able to walk, like being able to have fingers that can do this, that being able to have a thumb, being able to have eyes that can see, a mouth that can taste, nose that can smell, ears that can hear. We take so much for granted. It's when we lose these things that we come to the reality of, wow, I've really lost something significant. And some of us in here have lost some of those things. Well, wherever you are in your life, ask, how can I live a life connected to the vine and discover the beauty of a Savior that has saved me and display that to other people and be a beautiful part of that cluster? Because the unity of the Spirit can change and transform lives. Because Jesus is among us. So the second thing is love like Jesus loves. This is pretty simple and straightforward too. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. No greater love does anyone have than to die for those that live, right? Jesus did that for you. He did that for me. The least we can do is to live for him and stay connected to the vine and to discover him more deeply as we're connected to the vine. I'm not sure about you, but I want to cut off. I don't feel like that would be a great thing to be thrown into the fire. Because if you haven't figured it out, the symbolism there is Hades or hell. Let's not live faulty existence. Pretenders. Let's not be pretenders. Let's be people that are real stuff and talk about stuff that matters. God's like, you know the way, because I am the way.